Church, our families, our community cannot survive if we continue in the way that we are going. That brings us to our second objective. Today's objective, we are answering this question: how did our current condition come to be? How did our current condition come to be? How did we get here? How did we get here? Well, the answer to that question is very simple. Church, we are where we are because we have forsaken God. We are where we are because we have forsaken God. Not everyone, but as a community and as a people, we have forsaken God. The subtitle for today's message is Forsaken. Turn to Judges chapter 2. We have forsaken God. See, sometimes we look at our present distress and we conclude that God has forsaken us. In fact, that is a popular thing to believe now. But God did not, nor has he ever forsaken us. We have forsaken him. That word forsake means to abandon. It means to leave or turn away from entirely. To forsake means to abandon, to leave, to turn away from entirely. It means to depart from, to depart from. As a people, we have turned away from God. We have left him and we have abandoned him. Your Bible should be in Judges chapter 2. And we're going to use this scripture because it so clearly shows us the state that we are in. In Judges chapter 2, we are looking again at the life of Israel, but we're going backwards. We're going back to more of the beginning. And in Judges chapter 2, here we see that God has brought the nation of Israel out of slavery. They were in Egypt and in bondage, but God saw their cry and heard their cry and delivered them out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. And they spent 40 years living in the wilderness. And under his leadership, they were heading to the promised land. And the promised land was an area of the world called Canaan. But they came to the promised land, not under Moses, but under Joshua. And here in the book of Judges, they have made it into the promise after all those years in the wilderness. But when they came to this place of promise, this land of Canaan, they were not alone. They were surrounded by a people known as the Canaanites. Now, the Canaanites in the Old Testament is symbolic of sin, wickedness, and worldliness. So they were surrounded by a people called the Canaanites, and they were very wicked. They were very worldly. The Canaanites were so wicked that they practiced child sacrifice. And God instructed Israel, when you go into the land of Canaan, you are to drive them out of the land. But Israel did not obey. So in Judges, God confronts them and asks them, why have you done this? And then God warns them that because of their compromise, the Canaanites that they should have driven out would be a thorn in their side. In other words, they're going to be your adversary. They're going to plague you. And then he warns them that the Canaanite gods would be a snare to them. In other words, that word snare is like a noose or a trap. Their gods are going to trap you. And so the children of Israel, when they hear this rebuke, they cry out to God and they sacrifice to him. Now look what happens after he has rebuked them. We're going to start reading in verse 7. Judges chapter 2, verse 7. It says, "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the Mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all the generation that were gathered unto their fathers. There arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whethersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them. And they were greatly distressed." Church, when we look at what happened to Israel, Israel exemplifies a people who forsake God and slide into distress. Here in this scripture, we're going to see that they forsake God in three very important ways. And these are the ways that we as a people, as a community, have forsaken God. Church, we have forsaken God, point number one, in our heart. We have forsaken God in our heart. See, God rebuked the nation of Israel. Why have you not done what I asked you to do? Why didn't you not drive out the wickedness that was around you? And the scripture says that after God rebukes them, that the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived him, who had seen all the great works of the Lord. But it's interesting what the scripture does not say. The scripture does not say that Israel corrected their behavior. You won't find anywhere in this scripture where it says that they repented and decided to drive out the Canaanites. They left them right in their place. See, they wept before God because of the consequences of their sins. But there was no indication of true repentance, because repentance does not mean I'm sorry. That's just a small aspect of repentance. Repentance means I turn and go the other way. See, I have been going this way, and I realize God is saying, "You can't keep going this way." And I say, "God, yes, you're right." And I turn and I go another way. See, they were sad because of what God said, but they were never truly repentant, because the Canaanites remained in the land. So then the question becomes, why? Why, after God warned them, did not God say what would happen if they did not drive them out? Yes, he did. Was God not clear of the consequences of their sins? Yes, he was. So then why would they leave these Canaanites in the land around them? It was because they wanted them there. They wanted them there. See, Israel's heart had become divided. God had done great things for them, shown great wonders for them, fed them in the wilderness, literally from heaven. They knew the mighty works of God, and yet when they finally entered into the promised land, yes, they continued to love the worship that they had established. They loved their culture and their tradition, but they also became attracted to the world that was around them. They fell in love with it, and their heart became divided. Church, that's what happened to us as a people. God has been faithful to us as a people. Faithful to us through slavery, oppression, persecution, discrimination. We came through those trials to a place of settled peace, not a perfect place, because we still suffer discrimination. We still suffer persecution, but God brought us to a settled place, a place that our forefathers never knew. But instead of being thankful and serving God more, we became more attracted to the world. Started looking at things that did not deliver us. Started being concerned about social standing, money, amusement, power, worldly success. We were attracted to the world. Even our preachers left the pulpit and became politicians. Yeah. Or they stayed in the pulpit and changed the message. Now all of a sudden, preachers are preaching social activism across the pulpit. Is there anything wrong with social activism? Absolutely not. We need social activism, but the church must preach Jesus. Amen. And if we don't preach Jesus, anything else that we preach is irrelevant. Amen. Church, like Israel, we still love our culture. You know, church for black folks has culture. No, there's a culture to going to church. We still love our culture and we still love our tradition. The culture and tradition of worship. But we fell in love with the world, and our love for God grew cold. See, as a people, not everyone, this doesn't apply to everyone in every situation, but as a people, our love for God grew cold. We kept going to church, but church wasn't really in us. No zeal. We lost our fire for church. No commitment. Church became about what it could do for me. How is the church schedule going to fit into my life? No zeal, no commitment, no fire. Fervent prayers went out the window. No more joyfully serving God. No more diligent study of the Word of God. And to seal our fate, we brought in the doctrine of materialism right into the church. Because we love the world. And so we had to justify our love for the world by preaching and accepting and adopting prosperity. Church, our heart became divided. But I want you to write this down in your notes because it's a very important statement. A heart that is divided has already left God. A heart that is divided has already left God. See, you can be in church every week and on snowy days. You can be in ministries, have title and position. But if your heart is divided, if I have one foot in the church and one foot in the world, then I've already left God. And that is especially true if I am holding on.